Man, that was some heavy scripture. Who picked that? We're going to need to pray. Let's bow your heads. Our Father, thank you so much for being the God that you are, that regardless of where we come from, what we've done in our past, or what we're doing now, when we turn our eyes and our hearts to you, you welcome us back with open arms, Lord. There is only one love in the universe that is like that, and that is yours, Lord. Thank you so much for being that type of God. In your beautiful and glorious name, and we all said together, amen. So I grew up in the inner city, Seattle, Beacon Hill. And growing up in low-income neighborhoods and poverty around the world always comes with crime. Because people in poverty work out in desperation. Desperation leads to bad decisions. And growing up in that type of neighborhood, we were given the reality that danger is always about. So we were given the tools to be smart, be street smarts. Because you never knew when things would go sideways on you, could happen at any given time. For instance, I was sent to the grocery store. It's about 3.5 blocks away from my house. And about at the end of my block, right across the street from me, about 50 feet away from me, the grocery store gets robbed. And not only does it get robbed, they get in a firefight. So I hit the deck, and I wait for gunfire to finish, and I hear tires screeching off, make sure the coast is clear. I get up, dust myself off, and continue on to the grocery store. Because I was in charge of probably getting like pollo and cebolla and cilantro. Man, we still needed to eat. We still had dinner. But that was the reality that I grew up in. And my life was only really in real, like, tough danger like that, maybe a handful of times in my childhood. But that's because we were always taught to be aware, to be street smart, to be aware that danger is about. And that is what I want to talk about today. Considering that Revelations 12, ooh, child, man, please don't let me pick scripture in the future. I'm just going to tell Dudley, you pick it, man. Now, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sergio Chavez. I'm the Director of Communications here, and outside of these walls, I'm part of a pastoral team of a small church, and I'm always honored and I'm just blessed to always be here to worship with you guys. Thank you so much. You guys haven't voted me off the island, so far, doing all right, but we never know. Today might be the day. And currently, we're in a sermon series here at Bell Prez of Kingdom versus Empire, and that's God's eternal kingdom versus these earthly empires. And the one interesting thing about empires on earth is so many of them are won by war. It is simply the reality that we live in because of the wrath of a dragon. Now, last week, Pastor Dr. Scott Dudley, the title of his sermon was called Good News. And I feel like my title should just be Bad News. Like, you know that whole thing, hey, do you want the good news or bad news first? Well, y'all don't get a chance. The good news was last week, so today, you're with the bad news. You should have come last week. And I'm glad everybody's safe from Snowmageddon. We survived. Give yourself a round of applause. I feel like I'm a, yes, here we go. I feel like we're a bunch of frozen chickens that have slowly thawed out, and we're ready to be cooked. So let's dive into it. The spiritual warfare, this war we hear about in heaven, this epic war we hear about dragons and angels and Michael the archangels and this epic battle. But in this epic battle, the dragon is defeated. And we hear in Revelations 12:12, it says, therefore, O rejoice, O heavens. But then the second half of 12:12, where it says, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil comes to you in great wrath. For he knows that his time is short. Party foul. That is not any good news for us. Good job, heaven. Now we got to deal with biscuits. We got an angry lizard in our hand now from now on. Good grief. And last week, Dr. Scott Dudley talked about the wrath of God and how the wrath of God brings justice and it's noble. But today I'm going to talk about the wrath of the dragon, which brings no justice. Nothing good about the wrath of the dragon because he has all been out of shape that he got cast out of heaven. And we see how the wrath of the dragon manifests itself through the Bible. We can go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis where God creates Adam and Eve. He puts them in the Garden of Eden. He says, look, you guys can chill here. You can do it pretty much whatever you want except don't eat from the tree, this single tree. And they're like, all right, cool. Thanks, Jesus. Or thanks, God. Peace out. We'll see you again when we tarry yet again. If you don't know what the word tarry is, ask McCracken over here. He knows what it is because I don't know what it means. He'll give you a lesson on tarry. But then we see in the garden, Adam and Eve are in there, and who shows up But this ancient serpent, and this time it doesn't come with all the fanfare, it doesn't come with this cosmic battle with angels. He comes actually as a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing, this beautiful serpent. And he doesn't come battling with fire. He comes with just a subtle little lie to create division between God and his creation. This very famous conversation we hear between the serpent and Eve. And just this small famous phrase, did God actually say you couldn't eat from any tree? Sometimes the wrath of the dragon doesn't come in fire, doesn't come in big demons. It just comes from the seed being planted of doubt and lies within this world. We need to be aware of this dragon. Without this dragon, our earth makes no sense. Because if God created man to be in harmony, then where does discord come from? Where do we get cruelty? Where do we get hate? Where do we get injustice? Where do we get greed? It is a wrath of a dragon. And we hear in the Bible quite a few times this manifestation of the dragon's wrath. And there it shows up one time in my favorite book, the book of Daniel. And for those of you who know Daniel, maybe you know Daniel in the lion's den. And I love Daniel because that cat really didn't do a whole lot. All he did was pray. In fact, he prayed too much. That's what got him thrown into the lion's den. He was praying when he wasn't supposed to because of a wonky decree from the king and threw him into the lion's den. But there's another time that he was praying in Daniel chapter 10 where he prays and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, 21 days later, an angel shows up out of breath like, oh, sorry, man. Okay, so we heard you when you sent out your prayer, but I was fighting a lizard and I had to call for backup. Michael the archangel had to come. That same Michael that defeated the dragon in Revelation 12 had to show up. And so Daniel didn't hear from an angel, didn't hear from God for 21 days. This is how the wrath of the dragon manifests itself. Even in prayer, we see it. So my small encouragement for you is if you need prayer answered right away, you might be waiting a while because they're fighting lizards up in that joint. So just give it some time. And we see this spiritual warfare. We see how the manifestation of the dragon is there in Daniel chapter 10. And then if you happen to be studying Revelation along with the sermon series, I highly recommend that you study the book of Daniel as well, because the book of Daniel and Revelation go well together. And if you'd like a Bible study, I don't know if there's one in Revelation, but there's plenty of Bible studies here at Bell Prez. Look it up on the website. Talk to Ryan Beatty, Belong and Grow. We'd love to get you into Scripture more. But I think it would be greatly beneficial to you to study Daniel along with Revelation. So, historically, the church has not done well with books like Revelation and Revelation 12. And we have, unfortunately, reduced these type of books down to a simple scare tactic to instill fear into the followers of Christ or people who don't know Christ in order to conform to their agenda. And it's very unfortunate. For a long time, religion has used this whole hellstone and brimfire, and if you don't buck up, you're going straight to hell, and if you don't do this, all this is going to happen, and just this constant hellstone and brimfire. So much so that it seems like the modern church has gotten a little bit of allergy to that we've started to swing the pendulum the other way. The only fear that I have is that we swing it too far, where we only want to hear about the inspirational. We only want to hear about the good. But the problem with that is that we may mask the dragon so much that we forget he's there. And just like anything else in the Bible, when you begin to pick and choose what you expose, all you end up with is an incomplete gospel. We need to be aware that the dragon is about. The Bible repeats this over and over again. One of my favorite passages where it does is in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, the dragon, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And all 1 Peter 5:8 is really saying is like, be aware that the dragon is around. There was a time where I went with my friend to go visit his cousin in Wenatchee when I was a kid. And we were outside, and I kept on hearing this kind of rattling sound. And I was like, what's that rattling sound? And he's like, oh, well, it's one of two things. He says, it's either this weird bug that makes this rattling sound or the rattlesnakes. I was like, excuse me? did you say like National Geographic's rattlesnakes? And he's like, yeah, but don't worry. Hey, my mom said if we bring her the head of a rattlesnake, she'll give us $50 for every head we bring. Let's go catch some. I'm like, what? Next thing I know, I'm in Biscuit's backyards, waist high in tall grass with a shovel in my hand, looking for rattlesnakes. I'm like, this is out of my wheelhouse. I'm like, look, if there is a gas station nearby being robbed, I'm your man. But this is ridiculous. This was not a reality that I was used to. But my friend's cousin, it was his, and he was given the tools to face the reality that he was in. And there was a lot of things that I had to learn being from the inner city of Seattle and actually coming over to the east side. I went to school here on the east side, and there was a lot of differences that I didn't understand of how the wrath of the dragon manifests itself. For myself, we were more about surviving, but over here, it was a very different story. I remember my friend one time busted out in tears, and I was like, what's wrong? I was worried. I'm like, are you okay? What's happening? And she was like, I got a B. I was like, you got a B? I'm like, I was dodging bullets and you're crying about a B? But what I didn't understand is that the wrath of the dragon on the east side with my friends put that subtle lie into their lives of if you don't perform well enough, you are not worth all that much. The wrath of the dragon is sly and it's built and geared for our pleasure. Individually, unfortunately. There was a lot of things I didn't understand about these middle class kids from the east side, a lot of dangers that they faced that I didn't face. I was worried about surviving. They were worried about being accepted. I was worried about the next day. They were worried about 10 years in the future and who they were supposed to be, what colleges they were supposed to go to, what career they were supposed to have. And it just affected us differently. But it all comes back together to the wrath of the dragon. So, is there any good news? Well, fortunately, by the grace of God, yes, there is. And we see it there in Revelations 12. And it's right at the end there of 12:12. It says, and the Satan's time is short. And what Revelation is saying is that the dragon's reign on earth is not forever. And this was such good news. Now, going back to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, one thing that these two books share is who wrote them and who was reading it at the time. See, back in the book of Daniel, at that time, the Israelites had been overtaken and been captured and taken into Babylon in exile, and now they were living under the oppression of the Babylonian Empire. And in Revelation, the Christians were living under the Roman Empire, persecuted and living under oppression with them. And for these two groups of people, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation talk about a distant future when this hell on earth that they're living will come to an end. This was nothing but good news for them that the wrath was only a short time. And today we read these type of books about this end time and these things that are coming. And in our false comfort, we are afraid of these things. But for them, it was music to their ears. Second piece of good news is that God does put an end to evil. He did it in heaven. And he's going to do it on earth. And the wrath of the dragon shows up in oddest places, the places that you don't think it should be, like within churches. The division within churches with groups of people who claim that Jesus is the most important thing and there should be nothing else. And yet within churches, we fight about, we're at each other's throats about some of the oddest things of methodology, dress, culture, music, all these things. But that is not of God. That is the wrath of the dragon wedging division within God's people. He was furious with the offspring of the woman. And the last piece of good news is Jesus, the Messiah. And we read it, we see it there in Revelations 12. See, although the dragon was cast from a heavenly realm down to earth, Something else came from a heavenly realm down to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And we know this. We know that Jesus is the Savior of all this from that very famous scripture that most people know of, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that for whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in light of Revelation 12, we should also remember John 3:17 that said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to in order that the world might be saved through him. The dragon was cast down. The Son was sent down. My friends, Jesus is all we need to face the dragon. So what wrath of the dragon that we need to face together? Where can the church rise up through the Holy Spirit and the understanding of the salvation of Christ? Where can we help? The wrath of the dragon is all around us. We live in a culture of sexism, of racism, of greed, of corporate greed that almost seems to enslave entire nations simply for profit. The sex trade, addiction, self-worth. Where can we as Christians, as followers of Christ, as believers in the salvation, where can we help face this dragon? Because we cannot avoid it. Conflict avoidance is not a solution. If that were so, Jesus would have lived a lot longer than he did. He wouldn't have holes in his hands. And without those holes in his hands, we also wouldn't have salvation. We read that the sacrifice of Jesus is the one way that we get to face the dragon. We see it in Revelation 12 where it says, the blood of the Lamb. So I will leave you with this. The blood of the Lamb set into motion in establishing God's infinite kingdom that will put an end to the dragon's finite empires. Bow your heads with me. Our Father, I want to thank you so much. There's parts of the Bible we may not understand, Lord, but with your Holy Spirit, you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Even your invitation in the book of Revelation, one of my favorite lines, he who has an ear, let him hear. Thank you so much for not giving up on us, Lord. When we ourselves listen to the dragon and we think that we can't even be allowed into church communities, if those people only knew the type of person that I was, they would not let me in, Lord. But that is not of you. Whenever we turn our minds and our hearts to you, you welcome us with open arms. You take us how we are. You make us new. And every time we face a dragon, we are not facing it alone, but with you, God. Thank you so much for being that kind of God. So together today, we hear your word, Lord. We turn our eyes and our hearts to you, and we praise you. And thank you for the blessing of community today in your beautiful and your glorious name. And we all said together, amen.